Pray real quick here. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear your word, to be before you. And God, thank you for your word. We just thank you that you have given to us to guide us, to supply us with everything we need for life and godliness. Lord, thank you that you have called us, somehow amazingly called us to be your own and given us a reason and a purpose. And right now we ask you to help us make progress in understanding what you have for us and living what you have for us as we share in your word together this morning and afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Is it working? There we go. The expedition. We're going to change that name at one point, weren't we? And we kind of, after thought about, a thousand different names, we end up saying, nah, we'll stick with the expedition. It's a good enough name. So I like the name. And I agree, it's kind of as we discussed that term, a lot of us kind of shared our own interpretations of what that name meant. And I guess it was neat for me to hear what other people had thought about the name, the expedition, because it was different than, I guess, what I had always thought. I was always thinking about it in terms of what other people were thinking, but instead of what it meant to us. So anyhow, we like that name, the expedition. And really, we really are on an expedition. I guess as I've been thinking about it lately, I've been thinking about just kind of the life journey of a Christian, of a believer. And so my take on it was I kind of thought more of the expedition for us as believers as kind of a journey that we begin that becomes a mission. And if you haven't begun that journey with God yet, well, it's really not a negotiable thing. I know a lot of people out there will tell us that, well, they'll tell us that they want to be in charge of their own lives. But the scripture is pretty clear that we're going to serve a master. We're going to serve either our flesh in this world, or we're going to serve God. And there really is no other choice. And I know sometimes it's, we can kind of get blinded by that, or blinded, and we just think that we're not serving anybody. Well, and then we're just serving ourselves, right? But we're all going to serve somebody. And I guess I would rather serve a God who promises me and guarantees me an eternity with him in glory, regardless of what happens here on earth, than serving myself that's going to end in death eternally as well. So if you haven't kind of stepped across that threshold, and the people that were around at work, or maybe us even, if we haven't stepped into that perspective where we recognize that we got to choose. We can't just coast along. We got to choose. Because coasting along is choosing. And I encourage you to choose to serve Jesus, because that's the only positive outcome there is. I always think of David or Chris Jones, kid lived in my dorm as I was freshman year, and we shared the gospel with him. And he said, nope, I don't want to trust him right now. I want to do this because I like my life with my girlfriend. And then maybe something happened, but I saw him almost every day. And he, as far as I knew, he didn't change his mind until the day he was killed in a car accident. And I don't know. I hope that he made a decision to change who he was following and who he was serving instead of his flesh. But as far as I know, he didn't. We don't know. We don't know the times. In fact, there's a verse we're going to look at today that where Jesus said, it's not for us to know God's times. We're just called to serve him. Well, our neighbors, our friends, maybe even us, we need to make that decision, because there's no other decision to make. There is no such thing as I'll be fine if I just kind of coast. But once we make that decision that we're going to serve Christ, obviously it doesn't mean we're perfect, but we begin this journey, right? And we begin a journey that kind of starts with, I guess, being baptized in a sense. And what does baptism mean? Anyone remember?
To be placed into.
To be placed into. And so we know that, you know, typically people think of baptism as water baptism. Well, unless you're like one of those places where it's like sprinkling water on somebody. But it means to be placed into water. But scripturally, it's pretty clear that it also means different things. You and I are all placed into the name of God, into His family. Now, that's not something that we can physically see, but it's a spiritual reality that when we trust in Him and put our faith in His work, then we are placed into God's family. And nothing can separate us from that. And that's a baptism. We're also placed, in a sense, into the Holy Spirit. And I don't have all the theologics on this. You know, the Holy Spirit is given to us. We're put into the Holy Spirit. But we're joined with the Holy Spirit, which is one part of the triune God, the Trinity God. And we're placed into that. Those are all pieces of baptism. Well, this particular scripture here, Acts 1, verses 4 through 8, I'll bet a lot of you have this kind of burned into your brains. It says, gathering them together, that's Jesus, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, you heard from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, Lord, is it at this time You're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So, first point is, He promised that we're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, that was a specific promise at the time, but then it's reiterated and given to the rest of the believers as well. Jesus tells them, basically says, don't worry about all that other stuff. When they say, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He says, chill. Okay, it's not your business to know all the timing of where, when things are going to happen, but you're going to be My witnesses. This is the plan. So you just take care of your journey right now. You're going to get power to do it. I don't know about you guys. When I think of power, the first thing I think of is like superhero magic powers, you know, things like that. Anybody like me? It's like, at least I used to think that way. Yeah. I guess still it'd be easy to kind of daydream. Like, oh. But I don't think that's the kind of power He's given us. Now, it could be, I suppose, because there are examples in the scripture where people have done these crazy supernatural things. But what I observe in the New Testament is, aside from a few examples of people being raised from the dead, right, people speaking in foreign languages without even ever having learned them, yeah, you know, probably didn't even know how to write their own language, let alone speak a foreign language. Okay, there are some specific examples. But as we look through the letters that Paul wrote to the churches and believers, largely what we see is that this power consists largely in the believer being able to grow in choosing to do what is right. This power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to do what the Spirit would have us do, contrary to what our flesh would like. And this is an ongoing battle, isn't it? But we make progress. One of the things we spent some time on a couple years ago was working through 1 Peter. And I think it's 1 Peter. Talking about making progress in our faith and growing in these aspects of obedience and growing in these aspects of character, things that come from the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. So, he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, you and I, having believed, become one with the Holy Spirit, in a sense. The Holy Spirit is given to us. In Ephesians, it says here, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." So, this Holy Spirit is given to us, and it's very real. He's a person, and he's, if you've put your faith in God and trusted him, then he's in you. And that power, the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, pretty miraculous, is in you. How many of you have ever felt like you have a struggle with, maybe there's some sin or some area of weakness that just like, it's so hard to choose to do right. Probably everybody at times has had that kind of a struggle. And the funny thing is, and I know it's always easier said than done, but if we just give up and say, wait, okay, you know what? Holy Spirit, I can't do it. And we rely on him, it's almost like there's no struggle at all. He's so powerful that it just, it is no battle. Yeah. The real struggle is just getting to trust in him and say, okay, Spirit, I give up, you know. I'll let you take control. But he has the power, and he's given you and me that power. And I'm not sure that it means that, you know, I am strong enough. I can resist all temptation. Go ahead. Put that extra piece of pie in front of me. Ha! No. I think the choice is really learning to rely on him. Say, I don't. In my flesh, I don't have that power. But in the Holy Spirit that's been put inside of me, I have the power to move mountains. I can handle this. A big part of our journey as believers is learning to trust Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and to rely on him so that we can make progress in our faith, so that we can get better at choosing, get better at, I guess in a sense, submitting to him. It's a big part of our journey. You know, and I don't know, I for some of us, maybe when we started our journey as a believer, it just kind of started as, wow, God, here's this tangle of a life that I've got, I've made, and it's made it just been, let's try to get it kind of pieced together so, you know, my arms aren't flailing off and I'm not rotting away, but rather we're kind of moving in a positive direction. I think some of us start that way. Maybe some of you started your walk pursuing the Lord and growing with him just like, day one was all about the mission. Yes, we are going to go and tell everybody in the world about Jesus. You know, people kind of start in different places, I think. But I do think that all of us have, whether you start in one place or another, at some point they all intersect, don't they? And if it's kind of like, if you think you're strong, what's this, the scripture says, take heed, you who think you stand, lest you fall. So we all experience, I think, all those things because there's nothing new to man, yeah, and it's pretty common, all the experiences we have. Either way, the point is simply that you are indwelled by God's Holy Spirit, and the beginning of our journey really starts there with the Holy Spirit working on us and making us more like Christ, and that's a big journey. Over time, that journey certainly kind of grows into a sense of mission. And let's see if we can go here. It might be next week that I get to really build that out. But I just want to kind of highlight a few things about our journey as it becomes mission, right? And some aspects of it, some kind of some highlights of what that means. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 6, Paul's writing to Timothy, obviously, And he says, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. And I don't know about the why Timothy had tears. It doesn't say. It doesn't say if they were tears of joy or tears of sadness or gratefulness. We do know that Timothy's father was a Greek and apparently not a believer. Besides that little piece, we really don't know anything about him. But it's very clear that Paul and Timothy had a father-son-like relationship or a teacher-student-like relationship that was incredibly, deeply meaningful and powerful in both of their lives. I think that in our lives, there's something about an almost hierarchical relationship that has incredible power. And we can be awesome buddies and friends with people, but there's something about having a mentor or having somebody that you're mentoring. And I almost don't even like to use those words because they seem kind of worldly and trite almost. But there's something about building your life into somebody or pouring your life into somebody and letting someone pour their life into you that is amazingly powerful. And it could be a difference in age. And obviously there was a difference in age between Paul and Timothy. It could just be a difference in spiritual maturity. But I think that this is one of the kinds of things or relationships that in many aspects of our lives and society today, we've kind of lost. I mean, people talk about it, you know, and there's mentoring on the job, you know, and things like that. And there's some really cool stuff like that, big brothers and things like big sisters that where older young people or older people try to really help young kids who need some direction. You know, those are awesome things. In the church, we talk an awful lot about being accountable. And that's absolutely amazingly good. Having people that you are being accountable with, people that can call you on stuff. But a lot of times those are kind of like, almost like equal kind of relationships. And that's great. But I think there's something really powerful about being in a relationship with somebody who is clearly older or younger than you, where you can pour one way or the other. And I see that in this relationship with Paul and Timothy. I don't know exactly what was going on there, but part of me is just, I imagine, this is me, so the scripture doesn't say this, but I imagine Timothy having tears because of how much Paul has meant to him and how much Paul has built his faith and built into him. And then it's kind of reciprocated. I mean, Paul longs to be able to go and see Timothy. That to me is a special relationship. And maybe it doesn't come about every day. But I think it's something that we should kind of, in a sense, keep our eyes open for. Am I allowing or am I seeking to have somebody build into my life? Or am I looking to pour my life into somebody? In our world, and I don't think it's probably changed really that much in the last several thousand years, we are so self-oriented. I guess it's probably not changed. Man's just selfish, right? But it's so easy for us to be focused on ourselves and our thing, getting my business done. But I think God really wants us to be pouring into other people. And he wants us to put ourselves, as young people especially, in a position to be poured into, to allow people to influence our lives. I mean, who are the people that influence our lives today? Yeah, especially if you go outside the church. You know, is it Macklemore? I think he influences a lot of people's lives around here, doesn't he? I'm not so sure that's a good thing. Yeah. In fact, it tends to be a lot of times it's like musicians who influence our lives. And that's all well and good. I have no problem with that. Except I know when I turn on the radio, the Christian radio, I hear kind of these distinct differences. And sometimes it kind of saddens me. But I hear some songs that, at least for me, I listen to them and I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's a neat sentiment, I guess, but they need to get out and live the life a little bit more. You know, I hear a lot of songs are all about proclamations of what I'm going to do for Jesus. And I don't know, maybe I've been around the block enough to go, whew, as soon as I start bragging about what I'm going to do for Jesus, I'm in Hurt City. Because it's all about what he's done for me. But don't we hold certain elements of our society up as our examples, as our kind of like once removed mentors, you know? And so we learn from our Netflix binges, you know, our favorite characters inform us on how we should behave and think. Or our musicians that we like, they inform us on how we should behave or think. And aside from the scripture and God's Holy Spirit within you, it's the saints that he's building you with that should be informing us on what we think and what we feel and believe. And I'm not saying God couldn't teach us lessons through Macklemore. He probably could. But we need to be seeking the scripture, God himself, and other saints that can build into us. We know that Timothy was one that Paul said, there's no one else I have that I really feel has the same desire to serve and to love and to sacrifice as Timothy. I think that's a kind of a target to be aimed at. Yeah? I would love to be able to do that. Wow. That same passage goes on. Let's see. He says, longing to see you even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it's in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. First of all, I just think those are great names, Lois and Eunice. So I'm not sure if they're really like up-to-date names today in the Northwest, but I've known some really cool Loises and Eunices, and I think those are good names. So, and then just to clear up here, notice that these women have had an incredible power on a young man's life. And I know that Christianity has often been accused of being, by people who are ignorant, really, of being kind of anti-woman or of kind of putting women down. But I think it's actually the opposite. Many of the heroes of Christian faith are women. And we see here that Timothy, who is held up as one of the greatest, I guess, followers of Christ and of Paul, is one who was primarily got his growth into his spiritual life from mom and grandma. And I think that's super powerful and important to remember. All women should remember that they have a powerful role to play, not just in other women, but that they have a role to play as a part of the body of Christ, or whether it's a marriage, or just as being one another together as a church, all right? They have a powerful role to play. And here it says, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Probably some of you, like I in the past, have kind of went, what? So like Paul just went like, boom, the gift of God is in you. Yeah. Well, my understanding, not to take away the possibility that this is a supernatural thing, but my understanding in looking at other scripture is that Paul recognized Timothy. In fact, I think he's recognizing Timothy as an elder. okay? And that's done with the laying on of hands, a signifying this person is, we are now recognizing as a, in a sense, as a spiritual authority, okay? Or as a leader, okay? And we know that when a person chooses that role of leadership, okay, that it is a gift, okay? And so I'm not sure that this, you know, I don't think he's saying that Paul could go around and just kind of like go, bam, bam. But instead he's saying, yeah, I recognized you, and you then took on this gift, this desire to be a leader. Okay. So I think that's what's going on there with the laying on of the hands. And boom. Then anyone have this passage memorized? I do. That's great. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, and maybe that's because Timothy was like being a little bit afraid, you know. I'll bet some of you felt that, especially either when you were really young, yeah, and you were like, you didn't want to like tell the older people what to do, even though you thought you probably knew it, or maybe where you haven't been the one in authority, you know, and so it's kind of like, you're watching your bosses do their thing or the people who are over you do their thing and you're thinking, yeah, they really shouldn't be doing it that way. And sometimes we're kind of timid about that. Sometimes you probably don't have a choice. You just kind of have to sit there and wait for a proper quiet moment to whisper to somebody. But I have a feeling here that Timothy was being intimidated. Yeah. So it says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Well, we know that the Holy Spirit is powerful. God is all powerful. He can do anything. We know that we have God's Spirit. God's Spirit within you is a spirit of power and of love and of discipline. If you're struggling with discipline, then rely on God's Spirit within you instead of your own self. If we rely on our own selves, we're going to fail. But God's Spirit within you has the power to be disciplined and the power to love. Wow. That's a tough one. I think a lot of us are learning, especially these days, as we're being challenged in so many ways. I know for me, it's like this last several years has been a constant challenge with increasingly challenging behaviors of our society and people around me. Things that I never even thought about, but oh wow, it never occurred to me that I would encounter transgender people in the past. And all of a sudden, in just like the last 10 years, boom, it's like they're popping up everywhere. And something that we never even considered, all of a sudden is like, whoa, okay, love. How do I love these people? Well, on my own, it's probably going to go awry. But God's Spirit, I've been given this Spirit, the Spirit of love. And I can rely on Him. Yeah. In fact, I think it's that power and that love that allows us to love people, even the ones who hurt us, even the ones who do terrible things. Yeah. I mean, Jesus was asking for criminals and for people who are killing Him, saying, they don't know what they're doing, Father. That power comes from the Spirit. You know, it makes me wonder, how about you and me? You know, maybe in our lifetime, we'll all get to just like die a good, healthy old person death and die in our sleep and go be with the Lord. Amen. But maybe we won't. Maybe some of us may end up being like our brothers and sisters in the Middle East right now, who are actively trying to love the very people who are torturing them, raping their women, stealing everything they have, doing incredibly evil things. And yet, among ISIS members in the Middle East, there are reports of good numbers of salvations. Yeah. And we don't get a whole lot of reports, but if you read through, and you could probably look it up in the different groups that are busy trying to share the gospel in the Middle East, there's some amazing stuff happening. There's some stuff that's kind of supernatural in nature, too. Yeah? Like Muslims and terrorists having visions at night that cause them to get up and change their heart. Stuff that sounds like it came right out of the scripture. So, but for those believers, loving the person who just burnt down your house and murdered your family members, I can't imagine. And I know that on my own, there's no power for me to do that. But the Spirit of God is not one of timidity, but it's a spirit of power and love and discipline. And you have that in you. We better be ready, because I don't know how things are going to go. And he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Wow. Join with me. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Wow, a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So, Paul says he's saved us and he's called us with a holy calling. So, this journey starts kind of with our recognizing our need. And when we put our faith in him, we're placed into his family. And the Holy Spirit of God is somehow crazily placed into us and us into him. And we begin this journey. And it's a part of our calling that we can't really necessarily, I don't know, I'm not sure I understand everything about how it works. But he says here that he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. So this calling is something that's separate and special just to him. And you, if you've put your heart and your trust in him, have been called to that. I know it kind of gets to be that weird conundrum because some people think that, oh, so it's all determined. Well, the point is this. Everyone's called, and God has known for all eternity those whose hearts will accept that call. He knows everything. He's omniscient. The point is, if you put your trust in him, then you're chosen and you're called. Wow. And it says, it's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Whoa. Okay, think about that. You put your trust in Christ. You understand that you as an individual, you were known and called from all eternity by God in Christ. You are amazingly special to God. And he has known you through all eternity and will know you. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your future from this moment on. And regardless of whether that future of yours on earth is good or bad, or you do good things or bad things, it doesn't matter. Because from all eternity, he chose you according to his wisdom, not our wisdom. According to his wisdom. Not according to our works, but according to his grace. And you are special. And he called that for all eternity. And then, of course, for those of us alive here now, starting from the appearing of Christ through now. It says here, but now has been revealed by the appearing of Christ, a Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So what a cool journey we're called toward. And it's been from all eternity. And he's called you. You as an individual. Called from all eternity by God. That's pretty darn cool. Sorry. And Paul finishes that passage by saying he's appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And he suffers these things. He doesn't go into the details there, but we know that Paul suffered an awful lot. But that's because his focus wasn't on the suffering. And he says, but I'm not ashamed. Wow. How many of you have ever been ashamed by reading that verse and been ashamed? But I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. He doesn't say specifically what it is. But when we put our trust in Christ, we entrust him with our very life and our existence, right? We entrust him with that. Because we recognize that on our own, we're going to go one way. Eternal death. And in him, we go to eternal life. And we know that we can trust him with that. So, we're going to talk next week a little bit more about this journey that turns to mission. And I really want to talk about some specifics because I feel like it's good for us. I don't know about you guys, but so often I get kind of like, I get going in my little train of thought or my lifestyle or whatever it is, and I like forget the basic, like tangible, real, doable things that help me to do my mission, to do what I'm supposed to do. And so I kind of want to get into that in the next week. But for now, let's just kind of close off here and let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us and that you have things for us from your word. God, I ask you specifically for those of us here right now or those who listen to what we shared this morning, that you would give us just the opportunity and that you would help us to rely on your power to spend time in your word daily this week. God, that your word would change us and mold us to be more like you. God, I just ask for a powerful week of just your spirit working in our lives. And so we just commit that to you. God, we recognize that you will do so. And so guys, commit each one of these people right here to you and to the power of your spirit. Lord, cause us to choose you and to set aside and sacrifice time that we might just spend in relationship with you. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for all the things that you are teaching us and you're going to teach us. We ask you to use us to glorify your name and to populate your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.